going to do a sugya that appears. It's not really a sugya. It's like a line of Gemara that appears in Chav Gimel and Beis. It might take us the whole week. I know we said we're going to do a different topic each day. Let's see how it goes. Essentially, what we're going to talk about is, and we're going to start over here, but we're going to go to a few other Gemaras in Shas about is honesty always the best policy? Are you ever allowed to tell a lie? So certainly, Chosam Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara tells him, Sefer Shabbos, Hashem's seal, his signature is MS, he's all about MS, MS is great, we believe in being truthful, and always. Is it always best to be truthful? You were just asking. Let's say the truth is something that's going to hurt the person. So would you say something that's true to hurt the person? What exactly are the exceptions to being emistic? So what we're learning about Metzia. So what does emes have to do with Metzia? First of all, emes is everything to do with Metzia. But there is a particular line that comes up here on Daf Chav Gimel and Beis, because we're talking about the mitzvah of Hashem Saveva, right? This is Eva Metzias. So the Gemara discusses the idea that a Talmud Chacham is different than other people. On the bottom of Chav Gimel and Beis, the Gemara tells us, we'll even backtrack a little bit, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, that a clay on Purya, you don't have to be machriz, you don't have to announce clay on Purya. So everyone gives the quizzical look, because everyone's thinking, okay, what is a clay on Purya? So ask the Gemara, my on Purya, what in the world is an on Purya? So I'm Rabbi Damar Shmuel, Kalim Chadoshim, Shalosavatan Ha'ayin. Brand new Kalim. What does that mean, Shalosavatan Ha'ayin? Yeah, he doesn't recognize it yet. Meaning sometimes you'll know your thing. You lost your item. It's like your favorite, I don't know, what do people have favorites of? Watches? Really? I only have one watch. Your cars? How many cars? Yeah. Your favorite shirt. You've been wearing it since 11th grade, and like it's like that's your shirt. It's like even frayed, but you love it because it's yours, and it's like fits you just right. It smells like you. It's I don't know, whatever it is. It's like that. That's your thing. It's your favorite. You're so used to, you know, all the internet. So it's true. Old Navy produced tens of thousands of the exact same shirt, or whatever, Kirkland, Costco, tens of thousands of the exact same shirt, but yours, you're already so used to, you know exactly, you know, the button is missing over here, and this one, right, you know exactly what it's like, but if something is brand new, you're not so accustomed to it yet, you don't know it, so shalosavatana ayin, you're not used to seeing it, you're not going to recognize it necessarily immediately. And Purya is because it's a nutrikun. Ein po ri'iya, Rashi says, that you don't have a tviya zayin on it. Yeah.
When you say like you're used to it, even though it produced tens of thousands, like you bring an example, like your button's missing, like wouldn't that constitute a simon? Like anything that you could differentiate as being yours, wouldn't that constitute a simon?
Right. So okay. So something probably means something less, less concrete. Like you just know it's just it smells like me. You know, I don't know. You have a feel for it or something. So, right, like Blink, you know? You ever read Malcolm Gladwell's Blink? Like sometimes you just have a... You've read it. Yeah. You just said, like, sometimes you just know, like, you have an intuitive sense. Now, what does an intuition mean? Intuition is really a bunch of rayos that you really know, but you can't explain what those rayos are. Right? They say people who know art are able to look at a work of art, and they're able to tell you if it's a forgery. In a second, they can tell you if it's a forgery. What are their proofs? Okay, they have to figure that out. But in a second, they can tell you if it's a forgery. Now you just know. You just have a sense. A tviyasayin. So, okay, so that's clay and puri. Hechi dami. What are we talking about? E ispu simin. So if there's a simin, kilo savatanayin mayhavi, then what does it matter if you don't recognize it? You have a simin. That's my name. There's a name tag in the back of my shirt, right? And it says, you know, I attended whatever yeshiva where you have to put a laundry number in the back. That's my number, right? So that's, of course it's mine. So if it's, I got a call 10 years after leaving yeshiva from an old friend of mine from yeshiva, that his grandfather had just passed away wearing my sweatpants from yeshiva. So he was like, want him back? No thanks. So he said, yeah, that we realized it was yours, number 25. Like, you were 25, right? Like, yeah, I was 25. It's okay, but grandpa. we still joke around about it. His grandfather died in my sweatpants. Iyisbu Simin, so if there's a, by the way, the Chiva of Hashem Saveda was way before, 10 years later, Rafa died in it. But if there was a simon in it, kilos of atanai in my havi, what does it matter if you don't recognize it? That's not a reason to patur the guy from being machriz. And either less of a simon, if there's no simon in it, kilos of atanai in my havi. What does it matter? The guy says, it smells like me. I know this is mine. I feel it. I don't care that you feel it. Prove it. You can't prove it, then it's nothing. It's worthless. Says Gemara, it's not worthless. The olim v'les v'simin. There's no simin. Nafkamina la'aduri l'tzum rabban b'tviyaseina. There is a halacha that if the person is a Talmud Chacham, all he has to say is, this is mine, I recognize it, and that's good enough. That's good enough. Nama aretz, if he has tviyasein, we don't return to it. Talmud Chacham. Wow, such a halacha. Savat and ha'ayin kimle begavayu umadrinalei. That Rabbi Shimon Lazar holds that if you find kelim that are somewhat used and a person is used to them and therefore he's going to be able to identify that it's his, then we return it to him. But kilo savat and ha'ayin, if he's not even used to it yet, so even if I'm chacham, who it may be his, but he wouldn't know because he didn't spend enough time with it. Lo kimle begavai. We don't believe that he knows it well enough to really recognize it, and therefore lo madrinale. We don't return it to him. Great. So what is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? You have to give the guy a bechina first. You say, okay, sit down just for a few hours, take this written exam. Don't worry, Scantron, it won't take long to grade. And if you pass the exam, then what's the exam on? Like, what Masechta, like, you ask him what he's learned. How do you figure out what's called the Talmud Chacham in this regard? So it's in that context, that the Gemara brings up what you're allowed to lie about. Definition of Talmud Chacham, as far as Hashabbos Aved is concerned, is a person who doesn't lie, except for when he's allowed to lie. So the Gemara has to tell us, okay, when is he allowed to lie? So if the person is known as super honest, except for in the circumstance where he's allowed to lie, then that's the person that you trust if he says, yeah, that's mine. And then you return it to him even without a simon. D'amar avidam Shmuel, bahani tlos mili avidi rabbanan de mishana b'milayu. There are three things that Talmid Chachamim are allowed to lie about. They're allowed to be mishana mina emes about. And they are b'masachas. What does that mean? So we have to discuss each one of these individually. But we know basically what Masachas means. What does that mean? In his learning, right? Something about learning, right? So whether it's, is it true that you're a Bucky in all of Shas? And it happens to Daka be true that he's a Bucky in all of Shas. So maybe he's allowed to say, nah, I don't know. I don't even know the names of all the Masachas and Shas or whatever. Maybe he's allowed to lie about something like that. Why would you be allowed to lie about something like that? Anava, right? They say that that's the famous story that Rabbi Fran likes to tell about Dayan Abramsky, Yecheskel Abramsky, the author of Chazon Yecheskel on the I think it's called Chazon Yecheskel's Parish on the Tosefta. Worked his whole life on the commentary in Tosefta. The other major commentary in Tosefta was written by Dr. Shaul Lieberman, who was also Gaon Olam, but he was a conservative rabbi. So it didn't become as popular as Dayan Abramsky's parish on Tosefta. But Dayan Abramsky was the head of the London Beis Din. There was a case in where the London Beis Din was being sued by one of the shochtim in London in secular court in England. So it was not a great situation. But Dayan Abramsky was called to testify in court. So they made him take the oath. Everything I say is telling the truth, the whole truth. I don't know if they do that nusach in England, but whatever. And the lawyer wanted to first establish his credentials. And they said, Rabbi Abramsky, is it true that you are the greatest living you are the greatest living Torah scholar in England today? And he said, yes, it is true. And the judge stops the proceedings and says, excuse me, Rabbi, does your religion not preach humility? You could say such a thing? And he said, yes, but I'm under oath. I have to tell the truth. Truth is the truth. So, but when he's not under oath, then he could say, nah, that other rabbi is also pretty good. he doesn't have to say that he knows everything and that he is that he's this Gaon Olam. Ube Purya. Second thing, when it comes to Purya, what's Purya? What? Purya? Drinking on Purim is one might think, right? Because Chayiv Inish Levesume Bepureya. Same word.
That's the Marsha.
So, okay, so that's it. Ubiporia, so maybe it relates to Purim. What's the other possibility? A bed. Something about your bed. So what's that? What's that about your bed? So we'll have to see what that's about. What would we normally associate with the bed? Right, Tashmish Amita. Right, so someone's going to say, oh, did you have Tashmish Amita yesterday? So you don't have to be honest about that. Who has that conversation with you exactly? Right, who asks that question? So that's a little bit difficult. We're going to have to figure out what that means. Like what kind of... you need new friends, right? Meaning if that's what your friends are asking. So, ube ushpiza, or ushpiza. What's ushpiza? Ooh, sukkis, right? Ushpizin. Someone says, what's the ushpizin tonight? And you say, it's Yitzchak, and it's really Yaakov. No, that's not what it means, right? So what does ushpiza mean? Guests, in general. We call the ushpizin in the sukkah because they're the guests that come. But ushpiza, so what does it mean to lie about your guests? How was your company? Oh, it was so nice, but they were rotten. They were all... right? What does that mean? So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what all these things mean. So it says... What? Ah, so guests talking about the host, maybe, right? So we'll see what the Rishonim say. That's what the Rishonim essentially say. That is the guest talking about the host. What does it mean, guest talking about the host? Someone says, oh, how was that host? And you say, fantastic, they're so hospitable, it's great, you should definitely stay there. And they're like, great, I'll move in for the next 3 months. And that's not so nice to the host. Now they have to entertain your rotten friends because you decided that you're going to talk up about what a great host they are. So that's not always so nice to the host. Maybe that's pshat, maybe something else is pshat, so we'll have to see. But these are the three things that Talmid Chacham lied about. So says Gemara, my nafkamina. What's the nafkamina to know that these are the three things that they lie about? That's a strange question. My nafkamina? Let's say I were to tell you, it's usher to kill. You say, my nafkamina. Nafkamina is that you shouldn't kill. Right? It's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. My nafkamina, because you got to wear tzitzis. That's the nafkamina. So it's a strange question. Oh, here are three things you're allowed to lie about. My nafkamina, what's the obvious answer? That you can lie about these things. You don't need a nafkamina. I told you halacha. I'm not asking like about a philosophical question, theory. Nafkamina is, and this is what you do. This is what... Strange. Amar zutshala durile avidta b'tviyas hayna. Nafkamina is, who do you return an Aveda when they just say they recognize the Aveda and they don't have any proof? They just say, oh yeah, that's mine. If you know about this person, they are super honest, except for these three things, that's the only things they lie about, then you return an Aveda to them. But if you know that they lie about other things as well, then you're not allowed to return an Aveda to them with Tviyas Ayin. So the Gemara brings a maisa about not trusting someone who's not medaktik enough. Marzutra chasida, that was apparently, he was known as a chasid. This seems to be the same marzutra that comes up all over Shas, but over here we dafka want to emphasize that he was a chasid. Ignav lekasa de kasma meyashbiza. The place where he was staying, he had a silver kiddush cup or something, and it got stolen. So Chaz Yaluhu Bar Beirav, he saw a certain yeshiva bachur, the Mashi Yadei V'Nagav Beglima Dechavrei, that was washing his hands and was drying his hands in someone else's towel. They used to have their own towels, and he sees that this guy was using someone else's begadim to dry his hands. So Amar Hainu Haideloich B'Dayamon Dechavrei, he says, that must be the guy who stole my stuff, because I see that he's not makvid about how he treats other people's property. Kafte Va'ode, so they... tortured him until he admitted, right? They waterboarded him until he, it doesn't say that. They tied him down and said, admit what you did. He said, okay, I admit it, right? So so they found that he was in fact the culprit. He was the one that that stole because they saw that he wasn't makbid about other people's stuff. Okay, so essentially what we have, let's maybe line up the questions that we have to answer over here, okay? Question number one that we're going to have to answer is, what do each of these three things mean? Right? What's the, we identified three things, but what do they really mean? What exactly is the meaning of, what were they? Meseches, Puria and Ushpiza, right? What does each one mean? Also, we're going to need to answer, are there other things that for some reason the Gemara didn't mention? Meaning, if you look through Shas, what else do we know you're allowed to lie about?
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. So maybe you're allowed to, allowed to lie about anything provided that your motivation is shalom. I mean, over here it's not talking about motivation. Over here it talks about topics that you can lie about. But there may be other Gemaras that talk about lying for certain purposes. If your motivation is shalom. Yeah?
Question is this. Does it fall under the realm of MS? Like, so what is MS? Is it like not telling a lie?
Or? Good. We're going to have to define. Where does the obligation to tell the truth come from, even? No, what would you say? Where does the obligation to tell the truth come from? Is it an isser to tell a lie? Is it a mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah to tell the truth? Where does it come from? Ratzon Hashem? Okay.
False testimony.
So, false testimony? The son of Reacha, Echoke. Anything else in the Torah? Midvar Sheker Tircha. Didn't Uncle Moshe teach us that one? Right? Doesn't he have a Midvar Sheker Tircha? Did I tell a lie? Come on.
It's right.
Oh, is it? right? So you can't tell a lie. So is that what it's got? Is it an issue in the Torah to tell a lie? How do you define what's called emes and what's called sheker? Is it always the objective truth? Or is there, you know, what did Stephen Colbert call it? Truthiness? Okay. No, you don't know? You're not begim? Okay, Google it. There was, in his previous career, when he used to be funny.
You're lying.
Very good.
Is that still there?
So, is it right? Is there meaning? For example, someone's like, "Oh, I got the most awesome. I bought the most awesome
watch.
What's wrong with you guys? I bought the most. Oh, yeah, this is the most awesome smartwatch in the world. It's a Fitbit, and you're like, well, the Apple Watch could do like 10 million things better than that stupid Fitbit. What did you pay for it? Oh, I only paid $400 for it. Oh, you're an idiot. You know, like, do you tell them, you know the guy can't return it. You know that he got. What are you gonna do? You're gonna tell him the honest truth, an honest assessment of what it was. Is that truth? Is that the requirement? Right, so I mean, how do we define exactly what truth is? Right, your wife gets all dressed up to go to a chasna, and you don't think the dress is so nice. You don't think the shetel looks that good. So how do I look? You've looked better, right? So is that a good idea? Is that even a fulfillment of MS, right? If one has... okay, so we'll have to define MS. We have to look at other Gemaras. You know any other Gemaras off the top of your head that relate to this? There's another big one that I think you all know. Gemara, give me a Gemara. Ketzem Raktin, the Gemara in Ksubis, right? Yeah. Gemara says, Ketzem Raktin lifnei Akala. So it's not asking, like, what are the dance steps, right? Like, how do you do that, right? It's not about that. What's Ketzem Raktin lifnei Akala? What should you say to the chasan to be misameach the chasan when you're dancing, when you're celebrating with the chasan and kala? So, based Shammai's opinion,
kala
kemoshehi, which means honest assessment. She's okay. I mean, for who you are, you did okay. You know? You're still punching above your weight class, but like, but you give an honest assessment. Okay, she's not the smartest girl in the world. She's not the prettiest girl in the world, but she's not the stupidest and the ugliest either. Okay, she's been okay. And what Basil says, no matter what, kala na'a v'chasuda. But what if she's not a kala na'a v'chasuda? Basil says still, kala na'a v'chasuda. Doesn't matter if that's objectively true that she's na'a v'chasuda. So why is that okay? Which one of these? Puria, Shviza, Meseches? You're allowed to lie about that? Kala na'a v'chasuda? Yeah?
But if everyone knows tomorrow, does it defeat the point of like telling somebody that their kala is going to na'a?
It's an amazing thing, psychologically. Even if people know that you're lying and that you have to say it and that you're just flattering them, they love to hear it. a person could say, oh, whatever compliment, people will they'll accept it, they'll hear it, they'll believe it. People believe good things about themselves. Against all objective evidence, people will believe good things about themselves. That's just the way people are. Yeah, at my brother's wedding, my brother's married now for a long time. His daughter is already married and has a kid, so a long time. So at my brother's wedding, I remember one of his good friends, a guy from Baltimore, Shragi Goldenhirsch. We're still friends. My brother's still friends with him. I'm still friends with him. So he said to me, I remember he screamed to my brother during the dancing, Kalana v'chasuda and I paskin like Beis Shammai. So that was the way he was Mesameh Chasin. So we have to deal with that. What's the definition of emes and sheker? Also, the Gemara's question, the Mainaf Kamina, is a little bit of a strange question. And what exactly, as far as Hashem's Aveda is concerned, do you have to know that he would never tell a lie? Meaning, what level of evidence do you need that the guy fits this category, right? In the context of our Gemara, we said that if a guy only lies about these three things and nothing else, then you do Hashem's Aveda. So, like, what kind of test do you have to do to know what he's lied about? So do we assume this about everybody until we find out that they lied about something? Or do we assume that everybody's a liar until you know that they're not, right? Meaning, what's the assumption? These are some of the questions. Any other major questions that we have to deal with?
How's the story written related connected to this Gemara?
What?
How's the story related to Chassidus?
How does the story relate to this Gemara? So, Pasha Pshat. Using someone else's stuff without permission. Right, which we spoke about last week, right?
In any case, you could call it dishonest. How is this story specifically?
Because, oh, good. Excellent. I'm glad you raised that, right? How does this story relate to what's going on in the Gemara? That he knew this is the guy that stole because he was using someone else's stuff. But what is it? What it shows you is patterns of behavior. And that's what it's showing. That you can make an assumption from how he behaves outside of this context to this context. Because
so
that's what our whole Gemara is doing.
So you have to know that he lies in other
situations. Ah, good. Okay, so maybe. But that's what our Gemara is doing. Our Gemara is saying, who's the Talmud Chacham that you could be Meshav Aveda to? Well, look at how he behaves outside of this context. And if he only lies about these three things and not about anything else, good. Then you can apply it to this context. Right? That's what the story seems to be doing. Another thing, just to, speak... more broadly, is there a mitzvah of telling the truth? Would this count as a mitzvah? Or a mitzvah of midvar sheker tirchak, an isra of telling a lie? What is the nature of the isra of lying? What are the possibilities? Nature of the isra? So whenever we categorize isurim, so we categorize things in a couple of ways. Whenever you categorize a mitzvah, you can categorize something as a mitzvah, and say it was a mitzvah, as I said. Okay, which is a reasonable question over here. Is it a los asay to lie or an asay to tell the truth? Or neither? Right? How else do we categorize mitzvahs? Daraisa d'rabanan. Is it an isser daraisa to lie or only an isser midrabanan? Good. How else? Bin al mechaver bin al makom. And third category? No, I'm saying bin al mechaver bin al makom. There's a bin al ma'atmo category according to the Gra as well. Right? So what's telling a lie? Is it b'nam l'chaver, b'nam l'makom, or perhaps b'nam l'atzmo? What does b'nam l'atzmo mean if you believe that that category exists, which the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Mishlei suggests? There's this category called b'nam l'atzmo. What does that mean? B'nam l'atzmo means that you're developing within yourself core character traits. So even if you're not hurting anybody, then it's not even a direct affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're making yourself a worse person. Let's say I stand in front of a mirror and I sit there just lying to myself. In front of me, no one hears it. It's not hurting anybody. But I'm just saying, wow, you have a magnificent head of hair. You are 6'2". You are in great shape. You are, whatever I tell myself in front of the mirror, right? So is that a violation of anything? Is that an avera? Good? And l'may nafkamina. right, what would the nafkaminas be? You know, there's an isser not only to speak Lashon Hara, what else? An isser to listen to Lashon Hara. Is an isser to listen to lies? Right, you'd have to stop hanging out with certain people. Right? Is there an isser to listen to lies? Also worth discussing. So I guess let's take this slowly. So let's start with I guess we'll start with our sugya and then we'll work our way out, right, toward these broader questions. Fair enough? So b'maseches. So what does it mean b'maseches? So we have Rashi right here on the spot, right? Vazak Rashi. B'maseches, says Rashi. Yesh b'yadcha maseches ploni sedura begirsa olav. V'alfagav shesedura hilo yomar lo lav. Umidas anavihi. That someone asks you, hey, do you know this masechta really well? And the answer is yes. You know it cold. You did, what do they call that? The Chazara program where you...
Arhavna,
right? So you chazed this masechta 8,000 times. So you know kimat bal peh. But you don't want to brag. You don't want to show up. So you say no. And that's okay. You're allowed to do that. Midas anava. That's how Rashi writes. The Tosfos raises the kasha, right? Tosfos Dibra Maskel b'Maseches. V'im Tomer v'Amar v'Shinantem Shiu Dibrei Torah Mechudadin b'Ficha Shiim Yishalcha Adam Al Tegamgim Tomer Lo El Amar Lo Miyad. How do we define the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? This is good, leading into the Yom Tov Shavuos. Right? How do we define the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? How much do you have to learn? So, okay, you learn with every free moment of your time. Good. But how do I know how to do it? Like, when do I move on to the next thing? When do I say, just, okay, bekiyus, do more. So Vishinantam tells us that you need Divrei Torah Mechudadim Beficha. How do we define Mechudadim Beficha, that it's sharp in your mouth? The gather is that when someone asks you, Al Tegamgim V'Tomer Lo, you shouldn't be saying, I don't know, I gotta look it up. I think, no, El Omer Lo Miyad, right away. It's right. He says, oh, do you know the Gemara at the end of the Masechta? Yeah, I learned it, boom, right away. So what Tosfos is asking, if that's the gather is, if someone asks you, you have to respond right away, how can Rashi tell me that you're not supposed to say that you know it, that you're supposed to lie and say I don't know it, or that it's okay to lie even? So that's Tosfos Kasha. V'yesh lomar, d'haynu davka b'adam abal lishol, din o hora'a o l'islamid. Av l'hacha shabalim nesosom yodea, muta l'shana shalom alo l'mad tizeh. Right, there are different contexts that people can ask. Sometimes a person needs to know the halacha. What's the halacha? So you can say, oh, I don't know anything about halacha. That's not right. The person needs to know what to do. They need the halacha. You have responsibility to tell them the halacha. Rav Shach used to tell us that he didn't like when poskim would use the lashon of la'anias daiti. He said, you cannot paskin me'anias hadas. Paskin has to come me'ashiras hadas. If it's only an anias hadas, then you have no right paskining. That's not the place for anava. Anava is, you know, you have a friend who's so impressed with your genius that they like to show you off. You're like a parlor trick, you know? It's like, oh, get this, check this out. Say, you know, ksuvas davsach, right? And you know ksuvas, of course, who doesn't? Right? So you know ksuvas davsach. You could say it in a second. But he's just trying to, he doesn't really, he just wants to test you, he just wants to show you off. So that's purely a context of gaiva. In the context of gaiva, there's no need to do that. And adrabba, it's not appropriate to do that. So that's what Tosa says. That it all depends on context. Good. But this is all within Shitas Rashi. Now, what does it mean about Maseches? It means that you lie about what you know, what you've learned. Comes along Rabbeinu Chananel, which is quoted in the Shita Mikvetzes, that if you say, I don't know it because I never learned it, then you're not going to be viewed as a liar. Meaning no one will ever know the difference, whether you did or didn't learn it, and therefore you're not going to be viewed as a liar. Meaning, not that you're not going to be viewed, he points to Gemara Maseches Brachos. Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, Lamad l'shon chalomer eni yodea, that you should always get used to saying, I don't know. And the reason is because if you say that you do know, then people will push you, and sometimes you'll be chapped on something, on some detail that you don't know. So since you're following Midas Chachamim, says the Rabbeinu Chananel, that is by definition not a sheker. So it's the same. He's saying the same as Rashi in terms of how it plays out. Someone says, "Did you learn this?" And you say, "No." Do you know this? And you say, "No." But he gives a little more flavor to it. Why? Not stam because of chivus, but because in cases where the chachamim specifically say this is appropriate behavior, then you're not a liar. You're following what the chachamim say. Meaning lamashta. If the chachamim say that you're supposed to tell a chasan his kala is not of a chasuda, even when she's not, then by definition that means you're not a liar when you say it. Because you're following the advice of the chachamim. So when you're following the advice of the Chum, you're not Mukhsa Kishakra. Again, what's the whole context of our Gemara? We need to know, can I trust this guy? So does this lie, even if it is a lie, does it make him untrustworthy? So how do we measure whether it makes him untrustworthy? Is he following the advice of the Chacham? If Rabbeinu Chananel is correct, what we're going to need to see is that in all three of these cases, there's advice out there from Chazal to dafka lie about these things. Only in situations where there's advice from Chazal to lie about something, that if a person lies about it, you could say, okay, it doesn't ruin his cheskas emes. It doesn't label him as a shakya. Then comes along the Rambam. Right? You had it in the Marmakomos? I should really start printing out the Marmakomos again. I never know how many copies to make. It comes along the Rambam. Yeah, I have it here. Right? The Rambam, Hilchos Gzeil Vavedi Perek Yudal and Alach Yudin. Bamed Var Mamurim B'Talmud Vasik She'eno Meshana B'Dibur O Klal Ela B'Divrei Shalom O B'Mesechta O B'Mita O B'Bayishu Mesarechba. So first of all, fascinating. The Rambam has to list the cases that you're allowed to lie, and our Gemara says Shlosh Advarim, three things you're allowed to lie about in the Rambam. Four. Right, he mentions Shalom. Ketzad, and then he says, okay, what are the examples? Haya osik b'maseches nida. A guy is learning nida. Va'amar b'mikvaos anishana, k'dei shalo yishalo oso she'elos binyan nida. And you say that you're learning mikvaos because you don't want people to ask you questions about nida. That's b'maseches. Huh? What does that mean? First of all, dafka nida? Is that just like, could he have said, you're learning brachos, and you say, I'm learning Shabbos? What nida mikvos? Like, what? Why would he use those as examples?
You wanted to ask that question. I don't know.
Because you're learning nida? He's going to start asking private, personal questions?
No.
Learning mesech? What?
The
So it's a strange drama that he gives that example, Dafka. And what does he mean? Why is it okay to lie? Because you don't want someone to ask you questions? What do you mean? If you know the answers, you have a responsibility to answer questions. Ramesh has a tshuva where he says that you're not allowed to tell someone who asks you a shayla that you know the answer to. Go ask so-and-so. Go ask someone else. I don't have time to deal with it. What do you mean you don't have time? You're put on this earth to answer the questions that you know the answer to. That's what God put you here for. Okay, that's a different story. You know, that doesn't seem like what the Rambam has described, right? Does it say anything about the guy not listening? It says, you don't want him to ask you.
Is it because it's more severe? It's like that courage.
You don't want to take the responsibility of dealing with nida issues.
Yeah, like
so why do you tell the guy you know mikvos? Well, what's Pshat? I know mikvos, and I know that no one knows anything about mikvos. He's not going to ask me about mikvos, right? So I know the best way to avoid questions is if you know, some big Talmud Chacham meets you and you get the sense they want to talk and learning with you, right? So pick something really esoteric where they won't be able to talk and learning, right? They'll say, oh, what are you learning? So if you say Bab Metzia, like anyone who ever taught in the yeshiva or learned in the yeshiva is going to have something to say on Bab Metzia. But like, you don't even know which way to hold the Bab Metzia, so you don't want to start a conversation. They'll start saying things and you'll be like, what? So what do you say? Oh, Kinim, I'm learning Kinim. Sechus Kinim. Right? I don't know anything about Kinim. They're not going to be able to ask you anything unless you're talking to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They're not going to be able to ask, or my father-in-law likes Kinim. Strange like that, but he's interested in like weird mathematical stuff. I know. I'm saying this in a loving way, obviously. So is that what the Rambam means? So it's a very difficult Rambam. And we'll have to see the other examples that he gives as well, right? But at least for this. So the Meiri says similar to the Rambam, but makes it more broad, right? Meaning the way the Meiri quotes this idea is that if they ask you what Masechta you're Osek in, and you know that you're not as expert as you should be, and you're afraid that they're going to start asking you questions on that Masechta, say a different Masechta, Shehu Baki Babi Yosef. Oh, so he's understanding a little different. Not that you're saying Kinnim because you know that the guy's not going to ask you about it. Everyone's got their one thing that they know, right? So they ask you, what are you learning? And you know that you don't know Babitzi, even though that's what you're supposed to be learning. But you do know all the lyrics to every Guns N' Roses song that was ever written. So you can say, oh, I'm learning Guns N' Roses. Well, what do you think about, right? So, or whatever it is that you happen to know, whatever you're, obviously the Miri is assuming Torah, right? Whatever it is in Torah that you happen to know. So you're like, oh, first Pasuk of Chumash, I know the whole thing by heart, you know? Like, so you say, I'm learning the first Pasuk of Chumash, or something like that. Good? So that's what the Miri apparently, meaning, it's likely that's how he understands the Rambam. That Mikvos is a shorter Masechta than Nida, and maybe you feel like you know it better, so you say Mikvos instead of saying Nida. Why does Rambam give the example of Mikvos? How many people know Mikvos? Because Mikvos is associated with Nida, obviously.
And just to clarify, so Rashi would say that you're not allowed to lie about those things? That the Miri and the Rambam says that you could?
Rashi would say that if you're just trying to protect yourself, that's awesome. I mean, the Rambam is saying you're doing it to protect yourself, to save yourself from embarrassment. You can't lie to save yourself from embarrassment for your own self-interest. Rashi said you're allowed to lie. Why? Another.
And vice versa, the Rambam would say that you're not allowed to lie about Rashi that you're allowed to lie.
Maybe, right? It sounds like that. That you're just being humble. Don't be humble. Not about Torah. You gotta say what you know. But if you're just trying to protect yourself so you don't embarrass yourself, that you're allowed to do. Which is an entirely different approach, right? I mean, Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel seem to be in one camp. That it's about anivus, and that's the derech ha-chachamim, so you're allowed to do that. Whereas the Rambam seems to be in a totally different camp. That it's not about anivus, it's about protecting yourself. Now, the Lecha Mishnah of the Rambam says explicitly that it's about embarrassment. And he says it's interesting that the Rambam dafka picks in Yane Nida. But I don't know if it involves in Yane Dafka and Yane. Why would it be Dafka and Yane Nida? I don't know. How would Tosus Kasha be a problem for the Rambam? Al Tagam Gimitomerlo Lomerlo Miad. That you should be able to say it right away. Is that a Kasha of the Rambam?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah.
So I think it's not a kasha because the kasha was, don't lie about something that you do know and say that you don't know. I mean, Rashi said that you're allowed to claim something you do know that you don't know that which you do know. That's what Rashi said. You're allowed to say I don't know that which I do know. And the Gemara in Kiddushin says, "Al tagamim tomelo amelo liyad." If you know it, say it. So that's a kasha. How can you tell me, even though I know it, don't say it? The Gemara in Kiddushin says, if you know it, you got to say it. The Rambam's saying, if you don't know it, you're allowed to say that. If you don't know it, you're allowed to say that you're not learning it. It's not talking about a case where you know it. It's not a steer at all of Kiddushin. Kiddushin is saying, if you know it, you have to say it. The Rambam's talking about a case, I don't know anything. I don't know it. So that's a totally different circumstance as the Gemara in Kiddushin. It means you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of Talmud Torah properly. Okay, that's a separate issue. Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to the point where it's v'shinantan, chedutam b'ficha. Okay, you didn't get it. You didn't fulfill it the way you're supposed to. When we say that you're lying about Masechet, is that a this is another nafkamin Rashi and Rami. You point out one, another nafkamin Rashi and Rami. When we say you lie about what you learn, is it a mitzvah to lie about what you learn, or a heter to lie about what you learn? Meaning, is this an objectively good thing or an objectively okay thing to do? No, according to Rashi,
mitzvah.
Why? It's good to be humble. So it's a kiyum mitzvah vanivus. It's you're doing a good thing. According to the Rambam, it's a heter. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You're protecting your own skin. There's no mitzvah to dafka protect yourself from embarrassment. You're just doing that for yourself. The Sma in Choshen Mishpat points out this nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam in Sivan Reish Samach Beis in Choshen Mishpat. What if there's a situation where you don't think anyone's going to ask you anything? Let's stop. I don't know. You're a bacher. And in Chassidus Yeshivas, a bacher is not allowed to learn Nida. Right? You know that? In Chassidus Yeshivas, a bacher doesn't learn Nida or even Kiddushin or whatever. They stay away from Nashim. They stay away from Nashim. Can't hang out with Nashim. Remember when we were learning Kiddushin in Rav Shachter's year, he said in Chassidus Yeshivas, they don't learn Kiddushin because it says it causes the boys to have Yerurim. And looks up and goes, anybody having Yerurim? No? Okay, good. So I do. I wanted someone to say, I am! And see, like, what would he do then? Like, would he just change himself? It's like, okay, so I guess we'll learn Bamatzia. Yeah. what would he have done? But, so you don't want to say you're learning Nida because you're a Bacher, you're not married yet, so you don't want to say you're learning Nida. Are you allowed to lie then? So according to the Rambam, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds that it's Dafka because you're going to be embarrassed, because the person's going to ask you and you're not going to know. But if there's no chashash he's going to ask you anything, then maybe you're not allowed to lie. Meaning the presumption is that it's us to lie until we know that you're allowed to lie. Right? Unless we know other ones. So maybe it would be us in that case. There is a Gemara in Baba Basra, in the first paragraph of Baba Basra. You know the first paragraph of Baba Basra, what time is it? Okay, we got a few minutes. The first paragraph of Baba Basra, the Gemara talks about tzedakah, sugyas of tzedakah. Right, so it gives all the, it's very kedai to learn, by the way. Everything's kedai to learn, but, you know, really, halach l'mais, it's an important sugyas to learn in terms of halachas tzedakah. So the first paragraph of Baba Basra, the chas and tas around there. So the Gemara tells us that there's a preference to give tzedakah to a Talmud Chacham over some of his non Talmud Chacham. Right? So the Gemara tells us that in Shnei Betzores, that there were years of famine, and people would come to collect tzedakah, and they had to ration it out. So they would ration it to Talmud Chacham first. Some people don't like when you say this publicly. They don't like this halacha. How could you choose some people over others? Well, you have to sometimes choose some people over others because there are limited supplies. So some people need to be chosen over others. So instead of choosing by age or whatever other form of discrimination you want to choose. So that's how we choose. So the Gemara tells us that when Yonas and Ben Amram needed money, Rabbeinu HaKadosh said to him, Karisa, have you learned Tanakh? And he said, Lav. Shanisa, you learned Mishnah? Lav. And the emes was that he did learn. Why did he not acknowledge it? He didn't want to receive anything as a result of his learning. Right, the Rambam, Perash HaMashayas, and Pirkei Avos makes a big deal about never receiving gifts as a result of your learning, that you're never receiving support as a result of your learning. So Ben Yoyada just points out, this sounds more like Rashi, that it wasn't about saving his embarrassment, it was about anivus. He was being humble. But what's the answer? Why is it not a raya to Rashi? No, this was a third issue. It wasn't about anivus. What do we say it's about? Being nene, mi divrei Torah. Right, what does the Gemara tell the story? Where's that Gemara? Is it in Bava Metzia? The Gemara tells the story of the... what was the case where the guy was... someone was stealing from someone else's field. In the Perush HaMishnayos, Birgavos quotes the story. Someone was stealing from someone else's field, and the owner of the field said, I'm going to catch the ganav. It happened to be that one of the Heilig Amoraim was walking through the field that day. So he thought that was the guy. So the guy runs up from behind him, snatches him in a bag, ties up the bag, schleps him down to the river and is about to throw him into the river. And he says, "No, I'm the chief rabbi." And he opens up, "Oh, sorry, rabbi. I didn't realize it was you." And then for the rest of his life, he had charata that he was nene from his from his stature, based on being a Talmud Chacham, learning Torah. But the Rambam goes through. You know, this Rambam Pirushim is a very important Rambam Pirushim Shnayis, because it's a major discussion point for why it is that we're allowed to have something called a kola. Because the Rambam says you're never allowed to receive anything for your learning. And you're certainly not allowed to make demands on people that because I'm learning, you have to support me. The Rambam asks the Kasha, he says, I understand, all these holy Tanami and Amorayim that were working as a sandler or a carpenter or a tailor, what was wrong with the Jewish community back in that time? Why did they support these people? You know, can you imagine if, Moshe Feinstein, couldn't learn anymore because he had no food to eat? So he had to start working as a tailor? Reb Chaim Kanievsky one day says, it's been fun, learning Yom Valayla for 95 years and having a Kabbalah's Kal for a few hours a day and trying to help Klal Yisrael, but I don't have any food, so I'm going to die, and therefore I have to work as a shoemaker. Would that ever happen in a million years? Someone, some gvir is going to say, I'll share my lunch with you. Someone. So the Rambam says, what was wrong with these people? How did they let these people work? And the Rambam's answer, they didn't want it. They wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't allow anyone to give them anything. So it's a very interesting thing. And he goes through all of Chazal, where you have all these situations where people refuse to receive anything for their Torah. So that's a whole separate sugya. We're not going to get into that sugya. That's a whole separate sugya of why it's mutter to do what we do, and to teach Torah and to be a doctor. Maybe that's a bit that I have on the back burner. Why a doctor is allowed to get paid? Why is mutter to get paid to do mitzvahs? Right? Future doctors of the world. Would you ever put yourself through that if you're not going to get paid at the end? So that's probably the heter. That's what Moshe writes. That's the heter. Like, what person in their right mind would put themselves through medical school and residency and only to not get paid? So that's why that raya of the Ben Yoyada is probably not the greatest raya. All right, there are other interpretations, but Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow will begin, not tomorrow, tomorrow's Tuesday. Wednesday, I probably will not be here for Seder on Wednesday because I'm supposed to speak at Hank. I also, at 10:30 on Wednesday, Rabbi Sonnenschein is going to speak in the Beis Medrash. Be'ez Hashem, you saw the sign, I'm sure. And but on Wednesday, I think there is Shir after that, right? So on Wednesday, we'll pick up with Meseches with Puria Ushpiza and the rest of the Seder. Okay, have a great day, everyone.